Welcome to a Catalyst for Change podcast, where we are a catalyst to inspire compassion among people, promote collaboration with leaders, and build capacity for programming. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Catalyst for Change show. I am thrilled to be with you today. My name is Lisa Rowe, and I am the CEO of Support After Abortion. Support After Abortion exists to end the demand for abortion by helping to heal those who have been impacted. We do that through three pillars. We inspire compassion among people. We encourage collaboration among leaders, and we build capacity for best practice programming. I couldn't think of a better person to be here with me to talk about programming and building our capacity than none other than Trudy Johnson. She has been a licensed marriage and family counselor for 15 years. She's among the therapists that I love to connect with. She has experienced abortion herself and has created a workbook or a book to navigate abortion healing. And so today she's here. We're going to talk a little bit about how she came about developing her book and how you might get connected and her experiences throughout her journey as a therapist. Welcome, Trudy.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks so much. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you, and I'm amazed at the effort that you're putting together here. It's so fabulous to connect the world of post-abortion healing. It's a fabulous idea. Yes. Thanks for all your efforts. Wow.
Oh, you're so welcome, Trudy, and I am so grateful for all of your efforts. Would you help our listeners understand a little bit more about how you got to become a therapist and your interest in creating this curriculum we're going to talk about today?
Sure. I actually wanted to get into the licensed therapy field because I wanted to bring this message of post-abortion healing into a more clinical setting, because I realized I actually went to a professional therapist to get help a long time ago. And that person actually told me to go home and get over it because he said, abortion's legal. There's no reason you should be feeling so guilty, and you don't need to have any thoughts ever about this again. You just need to forget it, go home. At that time, I was in the midst of a horrible depression, almost to the point of suicidal thoughts. And so that made me even more over the edge. I obviously did not go home and get over it. And because of that beginning journey, I believe God put me in that place to realize, wow, there's a lot of misinformation, misunderstanding. And in the professional community, especially, there's a need for persons who are trained to help people in very vulnerable positions. They need the training to understand the issue of abortion grief. So I went home, didn't get over it, and went through my own healing journey. Really, this is the resource I wish I could have found at that time. It would have helped me so much, because I wasn't necessarily looking, I especially didn't want a biblical perspective, because that was just way away from what the position I wanted to take. And so that was my beginning, was really understanding on the other end that disenfranchisement, even from a professional person.
Wow. So you went to, in today's standards, a licensed clinician, hoping to find healing. And when you got there, it sounds like the clinician wasn't trained or capable of meeting you where you were. And so therefore you were given the advice to go home and get over it. Right. Oh my gosh.
Yes. And I was in a very, again, very bad state at that time. And in his mind, first of all, why did I go to a man? I'm not quite sure. But I was just desperate. Mm-hmm. And in his mind, it was a political issue. And that has been my whole mantra also, is let's bring the grief piece of this out of the political world and let it be a heart issue of permission to grieve. So that was my first encounter of getting help, was really a huge disenfranchisement.
Wow. And I feel like it's so important for our listeners to hear that and to be validated in that, Trudy, because that was my experience as a fellow clinician. Nobody talked to us in our grad program. I didn't receive training. I never read a case study of anybody who had experienced abortion. I never even was told that it was part of the grief and loss. You know, we struggle that the DSM doesn't acknowledge it, which is our diagnostic statistical manual that we're supposed to be using as clinicians to help treat people. And so, Trudy, talk to us from that lens. So here you are, you've walked into this, you personally experience it, you leave not feeling validation, not feeling hope, you understand from his perspective that it's a political issue. What does it do to your heart and mind as somebody who's needing to be validated in their grief?
It almost pushed me over the edge. At that time, I was actually having terrible traumatic nightmares. And the nightmares didn't stop. They actually got worse. And it was very crazy making. I just thought I was going crazy. Something's wrong with me. And it was very devastating in my own emotional world. And my world was falling apart around me, but I was having to keep it together. Or raising family and doing life. And it was quite devastating. It was another, 10 years. I finally eventually got help, and through a regular post-abortion support group was eventually, it's like 5 years later before I found that group. So I spent about 5 years in incredible emotional angst. And once I got into the group, then I went back to school at night while I was working full time and finished my schooling. And so it was quite a long journey, but I was set on, I'm going to get my licensure, and I'm going to bring this message to the licensed professional world. And so that's what I am doing, hopefully. So I knew that there needed to be a resource once I got my licensure and all the training. Like you say, there were, of course, no resources. So I knew there needed to be a resource we could specifically use with our clients in the counseling, in the professional setting. And so that's kind of how this resource, the focus of it is. Additionally, I wasn't quite sure I was going to do this because it was a big project. And in talking with some of the regular post-abortion support group people, oh my goodness, I got a lot of flack. They're like, you cannot do this. You cannot create a resource without Bible verses in it. This can be a non-biblical program. I'm telling them, I know it's not the be-all, end-all. This isn't the final step. This is to help get the grief piece exposed and create a safety net for people who are in that place of not being okay and needing to grieve. So I got a lot of pushback and grief. I got a lot of grief from them and just thought I've gone over the edge. I'm over the edge over there on that side because of going in this direction. But I knew that there needed to be, unfortunately, I'm having to classify it as a self-help book. And oh my goodness, to call abortion grief program a self-help plan is just really an untouchable thing that you shouldn't do. But it's just a lack of understanding that denial and getting people over that first hurdle of being able to look at the grief, that's all this resource is for. So it's just a lack of understanding of traumatic grief, which is what abortion grief is. And so that's the direction I went with, kind of going against the tide, swimming upstream, which isn't my forte, But I knew it was something that needed to happen.
And I love that you're calling it a resource, because I do think that our movement has gotten very connected to the common resource, the common methodology and treatment. And what you're saying is, look, I was somebody who experienced the pain, and it actually accelerated my pain or accentuated my pain in a way, because people weren't able to meet me where I was at. And so the development of this resource, I love that, is just that. It's meant to be a resource for whoever's supposed to receive it. And it's different than a lot of the resources out there, which is what I loved when you first started telling me about it. So let's shift into that conversation then, Trudy, and tell us a little bit about, we now know how it was developed. Tell us about what people can expect as a result of going through the resource.
Yes, it's very different. So there's the picture. So I'm calling it choice processing and resolution. The difference of this resource is the word abortion does not appear in any of the sessions that you go through. The reason for that is, in my experience as a professional therapist, it takes about 9 hours. And these are women who know this is my field, this is what I work in. And they come to me and we're going through their story. I work in intensives mostly, which is a 15-hour program. So it takes that first 9 hours of them being safe with me before they will talk about their abortion. And so it's a very, it's just such a secret that they're afraid to break. And so what I started discovering in the counseling room was when I finally started saying, not saying the word abortion, I finally started calling it the A word. And when I started, I said, well, is there any chance, you know, the A word, is there A word in your history? And they would break loose and start talking. So the word abortion is so triggering. It's so political. And so a lot about condemnation in the Christian world, that even Christians can't admit, they can't put themselves with that word. And so what I came up with was the term voluntary pregnancy termination, which, how much more true can it be than a voluntary pregnancy termination? So I call in my self-help plan, I call it voluntary pregnancy termination, or VPT for short. So it's always referred to as VPT. And in that, it's taking out the political piece of it and helping women be more comfortable talking about the procedure. So that's one thing. The word abortion isn't in the book, only VPT. I've changed the terminology. And again, there's a reason behind that. And if you just pick up the book, you might think I'm trying to, or what I've, the flack I've gotten is I'm endorsing abortion, making it sound better. Well, what could be more true? I voluntarily terminated a pregnancy. So that puts in there that personal responsibility. So to me, I'm not endorsing abortion. I'm just helping women move it out of the political realm so they can look at the grief. So that's one part that's different.
Yes. And I personally have gone through the resource, and I found it to be very easy to follow, very easy to read. And what I love about it, Trudy, is that it gives people a place to feel safe. You're not condemning, and to hear the opposition saying, hey, this, if you're not naming it, then you're siding with it. That's like the wrong thing. We want to, if anything, side with people that are hurting. And just the opposite of what you experienced, Trudy, like your therapist did not side with you. He made it worse. And so we find that abortion does that, don't we? Like, because it is political, it makes you choose a side initially and, or immediately. And then, you know, we can't meet people in a human way because of that.
Exactly. Yes. And also, so this is very grief light. It's just helping women understand that, helping them connect with the disenfranchisement. And like you say, helping them be very safe and telling their stories and connecting with some of the emotions involved, because that we haven't been given permission to feel what sad, anger, all of those emotions, powerless, most of us in it. And so just helping them connect with those emotions, giving them permission to name them and feel them. So it's just a very hopefully safe little introduction. There's always more work to do. I still, in my old age, every once in a while, get another layer that needs to come off. So this is to help with that first layer. That's all it is. And it's helped women all over the world. I get responses from Ireland, Australia, different countries that are just looking for help. I worked with a girl who's a strong supporter of Planned Parenthood until her experience. But there was nowhere for her to go for grief, and had a wonderful, amazing journey with her. Even though politically, oh my goodness, we couldn't have been more opposite. But on that issue of grief after abortion, we were right in the same land, walking through that healing for her. And so it was awesome. It's been a great experience.
Oh, I love how you also just identified that, hey, this is step one, right? This might even be step 0.5 for a lot of people. And you built that in intentionally. Can you say more about the gap that you see in those beginning steps in the abortion healing movement, Trudy, as to why this is such a need?
Yes. So in my studies of traumas, I have a lot of certifications in trauma work. That's kind of my specialty. So understanding that abortion grief is trauma grief. So the situation is, whenever we've had trauma, we're going to grieve that. But the first two steps of that grief are confusion and fear and denial, which is kind of encapsulated as denial. So denial says, nothing happened and it didn't hurt. So whenever we've had trauma, we spend as much energy as we can putting a wall up between the pain and the reality of what happened. We try to compartmentalize it away in what I call a trauma emotion box. We put away in a box and we try to walk away and not touch it. So that's trauma grief. Commonly, you can stay in that stage of confusion and fear, encapsulated as denial, nothing happened and it didn't hurt, for years. But in order to break down the grief process and get over the wall of denial, that very next step is secrecy break. So once we break the secret and say, wow, something did happen and it did hurt, then we're going to go into anger. And that anger can be inside anger as depression, or it can be rage. It can be, wow, I'm raging about everything. And so what happens is, that lady who has not gotten over the wall of denial, you're going to have a really hard time, I call it pulling hen's teeth, getting her to a normal post-abortion support group. You can put all the beautiful posters and messages. I mean, I just feel so bad for the post-abortion groups, try so hard to get ladies participants, and you're not going to get them there because they are not going over that wall. Trouble is, they might be over the wall. Now they're in your group. Uh-oh, they're in the anger stage. And so now they come for one meeting and they're angry. And you can't reach them, and they quit. They get discouraged because they're not connected really in the right place of where they should be when they're in that group. So the fourth stage is finally the pain stage. that's when they'll be in your group. It'll be a fabulous experience for them. But we're missing all of those steps, all of those stages. And we've got to get through those stages before we can fill the groups. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Yeah. And I presume there might be somebody listening or watching that goes, no way. Like, we have clinical understanding and trauma understanding. We have, pictures of the brain and all of this, but there's no way. And the truth of the matter is, it feels as though the abortion healing movement has been kind of stalled as we've moved forward in our mental health knowledge because of the political and religious barriers that we haven't been able to move through. And that's so pivotal to what you've been able to do, Trudy, is you've chosen to move through despite whether everybody's ready to move or not, because you know how important it is to meet trauma with evidence-based practice, and not just what we feel is right to do.
Yes. And so we are, women are dropping through the cracks, getting discouraged. They walk away feeling maybe they've gone to a post-abortion support group, walking away feeling like I felt going to the professional, same situation, just not connected. They're not getting where I am. And the post-abortion support groups have done fabulous. It's amazing. They're so dedicated. I would never diss anything, their efforts, but I want to help them. I want to help get people into their groups. And we're missing pieces, which is, by the way, the name of my organization, missingpieces.org. We're missing some pieces to the steps because this is trauma grief. It's not normal. I lost my grandmother grief. It's trauma grief.
So pivotal. And for those who might be listening also, we often hear, well, how can you really heal without God? Trudy, you're not saying that you're taking God out of the piece of the healing component. Can you speak more to that for those people who might be looking at this from a different angle?
Yes, of course. That would be ludicrous because that is the final stage of this. Is this final stage for trauma grief is peace. Well, we're not going to reach that peace until we really receive forgiveness from God and know that He has wiped the slate clean and we are free. You know, we've been freed indeed. Yes, that is so absolutely impossible to finish all the healing without that step. I would never say that. I'm just saying, let's get people can't get to God. They're going to stay in denial and be full of condemnation. They're not getting to God either because they're so filled with guilt and condemnation. They're not receiving that forgiveness either because they can't get there because of this stuck denial place they're in. So I would never, ever in a million years without that touch from the Lord, we're not going to get our peace and our healing. But we just need to get there, and some people are not going to be able to get there. They're going to sit in that condemnation, not go to church on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, not go to church on Mother's Day, be just sitting in silence over their secret. So we ought to help them break their secret, which is an awesome support group. But wait, maybe there are different ways to do that.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. I'm leading a group right now, Trudy, with the Keys to Hope and Healing curriculum that just came out, or resource. I like that word better. And 8 of the women are under the age of 30 years old, Trudy, and they are very close to their abortion experiences. But we really believe that they're attracted to this resource because it wasn't a faith forward message. It's meeting them where they're at, talking about the emotions that they're experiencing, talking about the loneliness, and just beginning to unlayer, give them a safe place to have this conversation with like-minded people. And all along, they're building rapport with those in the group. They're building rapport with me, who then is connected to support after abortion, which then, you know, my encouragement is going to be, what's your next step? And what's the next step? Like you said, healing is never done. And so what's the next step? But we're together, and they're not living in silence, and they're open. One of the girls said, Trudy, she said, it's socially acceptable to have an abortion, but nobody's talking about it.
It's unbelievable. And there's,
yes.
So it's so awesome what you're doing, Lisa. It's so fabulous that to help give a platform to be able to talk. What we can't talk about keeps us in bondage, says mm-hmm. Peter. Peter said that. The things that we can't talk about is going to keep us and condemnation and keep us from the very place that we're eventually going to be able to heal. And so we have to help the ladies that are dropping through the cracks, you know. And it's so great that you're reaching the younger generation, because they have been programmed their whole, they've never been alive, their generation, when abortion wasn't legal. So my group is more the, maybe possibly the older group. Most of the ladies I get actually in my intensives are 18, 20 years out past their abortion. And imagine sitting there on their secret all that time and so much emotional turmoil. So it's so great that you're reaching that younger generation for them to be able to talk. That's just fabulous.
That means a lot. And it really just speaks to the like-mindedness between us and you. I mean, we just really just want to meet people where they're at, to help them start their journey to healing and to validate their experience, because it's likely that they've been invalidated their entire life from very early on. We say it all the time. No woman just wakes up and decides that she's has to have an abortion. There's things that lend themselves to her vulnerabilities to making that decision or to be coerced into that decision. So to be the first person to say, we validate your experience, how healing is that?
Exactly. To mm-hmm. let them, you can just see the, like a air out of a balloon and relief, I guess, relief. I don't have to carry this. None of us should have to carry this secret. It's too big. It's too heavy. It's going to do too much damage for us to carry it alone.
Wow. I'm so grateful that we're connected, Trudy. A little bit more about your resource, because I find it to be very unique in how you approach it. So in this self-help terminology, it really is something that you can walk through in the privacy of your own bedroom or whatnot, but you could also walk alongside of somebody who helped to facilitate it. Can you say more about that?
Yes, I'm actually going to be involved in your facilitating of groups, and starting actually next Tuesday. So going to facilitate some groups online, Zoom. I'm really excited. It's going to be great, where women from all over the world literally can meet on the screen. And maybe I hope just in a safe place, just be able to, some of them for the first time possibly, be able to talk about this deep grief that is in them, but to be able to talk about it is it's going to be so fabulous for them. So I'm going to start that with support after abortion. I'm really excited about that, and hopefully that will get going and we'll reach more and more women with this safe venue for talking, processing through.
So grateful that you're willing to do that, Trudy, because I find that you can do the work through your resource privately if you want to, but I find that it's always better when you can be with a facilitator in a group. And I love that you're willing to commit to doing that on our platform, Trudy. It truly is remarkable.
It's a wonderful privilege. I get more out of it. No, we get more out of it. We think we're giving to them, when really it's just so wonderful to help women be relieved of this burden that they're carrying. It's just a wonderful privilege and honor. And my pastor always said, a secular work done well is a holy enterprise. And so where God is in us, he shines through us, and it's just great that you, Lisa, and other ladies like myself are willing to just let him, but we know we're available to be used in whatever manner. It doesn't always have to be, here's my Bible and let me give you this verse, because it comes out of us anyway. We can't stop it. And just a privilege to help women who are in these prisons of depression, condemnation, addiction, so many emotional after effects of an abortion choice.
Mm. And I want to say that again, because I've not ever heard it said so well. A secular work done well is a holy enterprise. Wow. That is like mic drop. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So Trudy, how would, if somebody's interested in learning more about this resource, learning more about you, how might they get in touch with you?
Yes. So probably the best way is my website is missingpieces.org. And they can email me there. My book, if you just go on Amazon or the self, not my book, this resource, if you just go on Amazon and type in help after abortion, it should, Trudy Johnson, it should come up. But my website, which real quick, I'll tell you the story on that, if I can. The reason the name of my organization is missingpieces.org is when I started getting in this arena, I realized I needed to tell my two grown sons about what I was doing. Well, they were in college at the time, and they didn't know, I didn't think. Anyway, so whenever I emailed them, didn't hear back then, I was so worried that they hated me, whatever. And finally heard back from my youngest son, and he was like, Mom, I'm so sorry, that's so sad. He said, you know what, Mom? I always knew in our family we were missing a piece. Wow. So isn't that amazing how the other children, somehow that person was missing from the family. So from that, I named my organization missingpieces.org, and that's why it's called Missing Pieces. And now it's kind of morphed into we're missing a piece in the grief process for many women. And hopefully this will fill in one of those slots.
Absolutely. I endorse the work that you've done. As I said, I read it, and I actually participated from a different angle, not having personally experienced abortion, but contributing to a family member's abortion experience. And I particularly enjoyed the last couple of activities that you had us do, and I can revisit those activities. And it's been a real good and cleansing experience for me, Trudy. So thank you so much.
I know that helped you too, personally.
It did. It sure did. Thank you. It's all about healing is never ending. If you're looking for it, God will provide it. Sometimes when you're not looking for it.
Blindsides us sometimes.
That's right. Okay. Well, I'm so grateful that you chose to join me today, Trudy, and to share your resource. I'm even more grateful that you're going to be a facilitator with us. If there's anybody listening or watching that's interested in joining one of our virtual groups, visit us at supportafterabortion.com. You'll be met with a link that talks to our virtual groups, what's available, what's open, and then you'll be in touch with our intake counselor who will help you navigate to the next steps. It's a really beautiful process to help you get connected. And like Trudy said, like-minded people in a safe and confidential environment to help you grow to the next level of healing. All right. Well, thank you for joining us for the Catalyst for Change show today. We are so thrilled that you took the time to learn what it will take to become a catalyst in the abortion healing movement. Again, if you're interested in learning more, visit us at our website, supportafterabortion.com.
Thank you for joining us today. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, you are not alone. Contact us today at supportafterabortion.com. If you were inspired by today's message, we welcome you to join the conversation by following us on Facebook or Instagram.